It's bonus time here on the Gill Connections podcast. In an effort to increase communication, empathy, and understanding around the country, we're going to be running a new episode every day, interviewing a coach, a high school coach from every state, and yes, even you, Washington, D.C., with explaining how the state qualifying system works in their state. We'll be talking with a local state expert on how many classes, private versus public schools, what events, and what is the process? Is it areas, districts, regionals, state meet? Is it a descending order list? Are there fun things that you do a little differently? Like maybe you, I don't know, maybe you do double points for relays. Looking at you, Texas. And then we're also going to get to the bottom of, is it the state meet or do you qualify for states? So check us out every day here in April and May of 2024 as we run through each state with a local state expert. So let's get started right now. All right. You know, they say it's always bigger and better in Texas. We're going to find out if that's true because today, as we go through all 51 championships, including you, Washington, D.C., we're going to hop into Texas, and I am excited for this one because I actually have a good friend on this one here doing it today. So help me welcome from the Texas Track and Field Coaches Association, Mr. Stu Canner. Stu, thanks for being here today, man.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you reaching out and, you know, giving track and field fans across the nation a taste of how all the different states operate. It should be quite a fun experience.
Absolutely, man. I'm having a blast, at least. I don't know if anybody else is even following along, but I know I have learned and I'm excited to learn about Texas. And before I have you introduce yourself, actually, I just want to say thank you, man. You know, not only for being here today, you know, this project doesn't happen without 51 servant leaders stepping up and volunteering. Right. You were one of the first people to say, hey, I got you for Texas, man. So we're just so grateful for your servant leadership and being here today to talk about that. But, you know, I know you in a much deeper capacity, you know, what you do for track and field. And I know you're very focused on Texas, obviously, but it affects the entire country for high school track and field. I'm just so grateful for what you do for track and field. You do more things than people even know. TTFCA can tell you that's a whole bunch of big things, but photography, coaching, mentorship, coaching fellowship, man, you are a true leader in this sport, and we're just so grateful. And I personally am just so grateful for everything you do. So thank you very much, my friend.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, you and I have known each other a long time, so anything you need, we're here to help.
I appreciate that very much. All right, well, let's hop into it. Let's get to know all you right. A little better. Why don't you give us like a 30-second, 30,000-foot level introduction? Why should someone from New York listen to Stu from Texas about Texas?
Well, you mentioned the Texas Track and Field Coaches Association. So myself and a gentleman named Steve McBride, he passed away last year. He and I were coaching together at Bishop Lynch High School, private school in Texas. He was the head coach, and we were walking around literally around the third curve near our high jump, near actually our pole vault pit. And we were like, so Texas doesn't have a coaches association for its high school track and field coaches? So we went over to Boomer Jack's, where we get wings, and literally, you know, the cliche on the back of a napkin, we designed it. And here we are 15, 16 years later, 700-800 coaches as part of our membership, 15 years with the Hall of Fame. And, you know, we, the governing bodies, and I say bodies plural in Texas, we have good relationships with them and good relationships with vendors like you and Texas Relays. So we've come a long way, and I'm now, several years later, I'm now the head coach for cross country and track and field at the same high school. Been there 27 years, and you know, Coach McBride, I'm sure he's looking up and just wishing all of us well that what we started over beer and wings is continuing.
That's the best thing you can do for his legacy and memory is to continue what you guys designed together, moving it forward and growing. And you're doing a fantastic job with that. So thank you for that very much. All right, man, let's dig in. Let's start with, what we're learning is some states, not all, but some states have a separate governing body for private schools, a separate one for public. Never do they mix. Private schools go to their own state meet, public schools go to their own. More common, public and private are all together fighting towards right. the same state championship. What are we doing in Texas?
Oh, my. There's a loaded question.
Now, that's been the easiest question on every single one, but not here.
No, sir.
All right, what are we doing?
We have, and yes, I'm not exaggerating, we have eight conferences, eight separate governing bodies in the state of Texas. So give me a moment. We have UIL, University Interscholastic League, which takes care of all the public schools. And as many people say and will agree, and I know we'll get some argument at some point, but my money, it's the finest state track meet in the nation. Then we have SPC, Southwest Preparatory Conference, what would be considered like your Ivy League of private schools. Then we have TAPS, which I'm a part of, Texas Association of Private and Parochial Schools. It's the largest governing body of private schools in the state of Texas. Then we got a whole bunch of small ones. TCAF, Texas Christian Athletic Fellowship, TCAL, another branch. And then there's the ironically named TAIAO, which is an association of independent schools, which doesn't make sense to me because if you're independent, there is no association, but nonetheless. Then there's TCSAAL, which is a organization of charter schools. HCAL, Houston, has its own charter school conference. And then there's the Homeschool Athletic Association. So there's actually nine. So I don't know. It's a little insane.
Now, with those nine, first of all, way to really dive into the Texas, everything's bigger in Texas, because no one up to this point has had this, not even close, to this many. But are you saying with those nine, are those nine different organizations all doing their own some form of state championship for track and field?
Yes, there are literally nine state championships.
Oh, is that right? Okay, well... which one should we, because we're not going to do all nine. We'll do one of the famous Mike Cunningham Gill Connections podcast where it's like 4 hours long if we do that. should we focus on one and or two?
In all honesty, the three most popular, the three largest that get the most attention, whether it's the media or whatever, are UIL, obviously,
right,
TAPS, and SPC. Those are the three dominant conferences.
Okay. We'll try
two to of which those... are private schools.
Right. So we'll try to keep this not necessarily succinct, but we'll work hard at how to keep this clear and everybody that's listening for this. Okay. Why don't we go to the next question then? So that's awesome. So this is one of the unique ones where we do have some separation between private and public schools. The next question is, how many classes do we have in each? Let's just focus on those three, I guess, but how many classes do we break it up to?
All right, UIL has six classifications. Those are your public schools. TAPS also has six classifications. Yeah. And SPC, since its inception, has been a single classification. However, 2 years ago, it broke off into two classifications. It has roughly 15 schools. So they divided it in the smaller seven and the larger eight.
Do we call these classifications? So some people call them division, class, 6A, 5A, 4A.
Yeah, class A, class, class 2A.
Got it. And is it typically the 6A or the bigger schools enrollment?
Yes.
Okay. Does that go all the way for TAPS as well? And then
that is correct.
And I'm guessing SPC is 2A, 1A?
Actually, they have 3A and 4A, and I haven't been able to determine why they chose 3 and 4. I'm sure there's a reason.
Makes it sound bigger.
But with only two classes, I'm not sure why they went 3-4.
I know. I don't know why I thought 1A and AA. That would
that would have been my thought.
Do you know if the 4 or the 3, I'm not going to guess, is the bigger enrollments?
I think the 4A is larger.
Okay, that would make sense, which makes me think we're wrong on that, to be honest with you. Okay, so in the UIL, we've got 6 classes, which means 6 boys teams are going to earn and win a team championship, and 6 girls teams are going to earn and win a team championship.
Correct.
Same with the TAPS, and then over on the 6-6, and then on the SPC, we've got 2. So 2 SPC schools will win a state title on the boys' side, and 2 will win on the girls' side.
Correct.
Okay, let's talk about how we get to win that state championship. Let's start with the UIL. All across the country, the first round of the state series is called area, divisionals, sectionals, regionals, all these different names. What's the name of the first round for UIL?
District.
Okay. Now, so district, tell us, how do I enter districts? And what I mean by that is, do I get 2 athletes per event? Is there a qualifying time? How do I enter my kids into district?
Neither UIL nor TAPS have qualifying standards.
Okay.
So as a coach, you make that determination. Now, you're going to be limited, obviously, in your entries. Usually it's 3. And so you are limited. Now, Texas in UIL is a little bit flexible because there are 3 rounds prior to the state meet. We go from district to area. Area is required. District is not. So let me just break that down a little bit further. There are 32 districts in each region or each classification. So if district 1 and 2 decide we don't want to have a district meet for whatever reason, maybe it's in the smaller classifications and the travel's too big, they can just decide to go straight to area. So district 1 and 2 would go to an area meet and skip district. The same number of athletes would advance, which would be 4.
So if your region has a district meet, this comes with a question mark, you have to compete in it. You don't get to just go to areas. But if your region, your class in that area does not do district because of participation and their program, etc., they would just skip districts and go to area.
Yeah. Now it has to be an agreement.
Right.
Because there would be 32, there'd be 16 of them, 1 and 2, 3 and 4, all the way to 31 and 32. Got so it. They would have to have that preset agreement that for whatever reason, we're just going to go straight to area.
So were those places that they do have districts, you said 3 per event. No. So if I have 4 stud milers, the 4th one's got to figure out the 2 mile or the 800 or a relay or something like that. There's no waiver for a 4th guy just because he runs 409. Sorry.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Four will advance from district. So let's go through the rounds, assuming everybody has district area. Yep. 4 will go from district to the area.
Any others, any wild cards, or just strict top 4?
No, not yet. There will be a wild card later.
All right, but strict top 4 from districts to area.
Correct. From area, you would advance to regional. Also moving 4 athletes.
No, no waivers, no time qualifier. Top, if you're 5th, I'm sorry, it's top 4.
Correct.
Got it. Districts, areas, top 4 go to regional.
Right. At regionals, of which several of the regional meets are held on college campuses, which is nice. Regionals is where it gets narrowed down. 2 advance from regional to state.
So 4, you said we have a 4. Yeah, district, area, regionals, state. We did top 4 up until regionals, and now it's top 2 go on to state. So how many are we trying to get to state then? If it's two, like, do you have a lot of regions?
Yeah, there'd be four regions. So two, that's eight kids.
So we're only taking eight to the state.
There's no prelims.
Is that right? So no, so eight shot putters go, eight high jumpers go, eight quarter milers go. It is eight and it is finals only.
Finals only in Texas.
Is that now, what makes it a little bit unique and kind of a, I mean, it's one of the more highly attended state meets in the country.
Oh, it's jam packed. It's on Mike A. Meyer. It's at Mike A. Meyer Stadium at the University of Texas. Now there is a ninth place qualifier because Mike A. Myers has nine lanes.
Oh.
So you've got your eight, and then in the mile, for example, the ninth best time overall in that classification will then earn him or herself a trip to Austin.
So we take, excuse me, these four regional meets. Top two automatically go into the big dance. You're going to go to Austin. And then they take all the rest of those times, put them in a descending order list, and whoever is at the top, that one person also, and that is that every event, shot put,
yes,
discus, okay, yes. Not just the running events because of our lanes, we do everybody then.
Yep.
Awesome. That seems ludicrous. And what I mean by that is Texas, big state, lots of participation. You are cutting. I mean, I have to think that there are some regions where a third place or maybe a fourth place is like full ride college kid. And I'm sorry, you got put in this region. You know, you decided to live in this region. You're not going to stay in that event.
It has been a point of contention forever, and understandably so, because coaches are going to be like, my third place kid who didn't get to go is, you know, seconds faster than a kid from another region. But it's like, without prelims, what are you going to do?
Right. Has it always been finals only, no prelims? Like for as long as you can remember?
As long as I can remember, yeah. And I've been here 27 years. Yeah,
that's forever, basically, Stu.
Yeah, it just means I'm old. What was your name again?
I'm old. Okay.
But, and I know we're not talking about other states, but this is done at a single location.
Yeah.
And so when you're doing it over 3 days, two classes per day, it's hard to do prelims without keeping them there 24/7.
Yeah. Let's talk about that state meet venue. You already mentioned we're at Mike Meyer Stadium there at the University of Texas. Beautiful right. Track. Beautiful stadium, hosted NCAA Nationals. It's a great, great place. You're doing 12 championship meets, six boys and six girls, all in one venue, same weekend, over 3 days. Do you do that when you mentioned two divisions a day? How is it structured? I guess the easiest way for me to ask this question is, do all six or 12 team titles get won and handed out on Saturday, or do some get give out on Friday? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and when you're done Thursday, I mean, you pick up your trophies.
On Thursday, you have prelims. You can do a one-day prelim fairly easy.
Yeah, so on Thursday, it's classes 3A and 4A. And by the time Thursday, basically 10 o'clock rolls around, we know who our champions are.
Yeah, I'm not thinking of the single heat that makes a one-day meet much more doable for that.
Yeah, on Friday, it's classes 2 and 5. And then Saturday, it's 1 and 6, 1 being your smallest schools and 6 being your largest.
How did they pick 3 and 4, 2 and 5, and 1-6?
That I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. I would have thought 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, just, you know, my illogical brain would have just put those together. But okay, all right. How long has it been? Has it been Mike Meyer Stadium there at Texas for? Is that the traditional place for, like, again, quote unquote, as long as we can remember?
Well, prior to that, it was at the stadium.
Oh yeah, at the football. So it's always been at University of Texas.
Yeah, it's been at UT for forever. Yeah,
gotcha. Okay to drop over to TAPS now and figure out their.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
So what's the first round in TAPS?
It's a lot of the TAP schools and regions, because we're talking smaller private schools. Like, I actually coach at the largest co-ed private school in Texas, and we only have 1,000 kids.
Oh, wow.
And it's the largest co-ed, which then tells you that because of the lot, you know, the private school makeup, there are single gender schools. So, which you don't find too much in the public schools. I guess you can, but not as much as you will in the privates.
Right.
So TAPS allows the classes prior to the state meet to determine what is best for them. So I know in my area, we didn't even have a district meet last year. We had a regional meet, and then it was the state meet. That was it. One single postseason meet, because we don't have a lot of schools. If we had a district meet, it would be the exact same schools at the regional meet.
All right.
Simply due to the nature of the amount of schools, you know, in the district or region.
Is state for TAPS similar to UIL in the sense of one heat for each event?
Yes, no prelims in TAPS, no prelims in SPC.
Are you doing so? What do I got to do in regionals to make it to state? Top two,
top four.
Okay.
Like in 6A, which I'm obviously most familiar with, we have four, and the South region has four, and there's your eight. For the last several years, we've been at a high school stadium in Waco, and it's an 8-lane track. So as opposed to Mike Myers, we don't get an extra qualifier.
Mm-hmm.
So four, that's it.
You kind of said that, like maybe you're thinking about moving stadiums, or is it still staying in that Waco?
As far as I know, it's still at Waco Midway Stadium.
Okay. And what about SPC? How are we getting to a state meet there?
SPC is a little bit different. They actually have qualifying standards. So they have a predetermined qualifying standard, and they're based on a review of the prior year's marks and times. Regardless, no school can enter more than three who qualify. No standards for the relays, however.
Okay. Because we're dealing with less schools, so yeah.
And SPC is a little bit different in that they have 4x1, 4x4, and they're the only one in Texas with the 4x8.
Oh, wow.
UIL and TAPS run 4x2.
Okay. Where does SPC typically host their state meet?
They keep theirs on high school campuses. One of the SPC schools. Last year, it was at Fort Worth Country Day.
Mm-hmm.
A beautiful facility, was just, you know, redone, and St. Mark's has hosted it. And St. Mark's is and has been for a long time IAAF certified track.
A great track.
It's a stunning facility.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got great facilities, and they host it on their own tracks.
Awesome. You did an excellent job of keeping us on this great day. I really thought, oh, there's no way I'm going to be able to keep this. Great job. UIL, district, area. And I appreciate the simplicity, too, even though you have four rounds of top four, top four, top two. And then we'll jumble them all together and figure out the number one, the number ninth to get there. And then we're going to go knock it out one heat, one flight at a time, baby. I like that. Thank you for keeping that simplistic, Texas coaches.
Yeah. And most of the TAP schools, just to go back, because like I said, I was in a 6A, but most of the TAPS classifications do it that way. Some of them may have a district and then a regional meet. If there's enough schools, we may next year, because with realignment, we're getting a couple more added to us. Sure. So those on the west side, which might be more towards Fort Worth and the far east Dallas area versus us on the east side, maybe we'll have two districts again and then separate and go into a regional. But last year we just didn't have enough, so we went straight to region.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate us talking about the venues as well. You know, Stu, one of the things that we know for a fact, there's no arguments here, is that track and field is the most inclusive sport in the world. Tall, short, big, small. There is some event for you to achieve success in this great sport. We found that a lot of states are adding some type of adaptive, unified, wheelchair type of events to their state meet. Anything like that going on in Texas right now?
UIL, to their credit, has been doing that for several years. Wheelchair, 100, 400, shot. I know TAPS and SPC will, when it's warranted, keeping in mind that there are smaller populations at the TAPS schools. Like I said, I'm the largest co-ed. We only have 1,000 kids. So, but UIL, there are schools like Allen. Allen has over 7,000 kids in their school. So the odds that the adaptive, you know, are needed are there. And UIL does a great job of that. They have been a leader nationally. So much credit to their leadership with the adaptive.
Cosign. Absolutely. So proud of all of Texas high school coaches that are continuing the inclusivity of our great sport. So appreciate hearing that.
Yeah. Okay. And out at the in the Arlington area, if I could just add it with UTA, you know, University of Texas at Arlington, and a lot of the schools in the Arlington area, they've really been on the forefront and proponent of the adaptive, of the wheelchair, and giving these athletes, who are wonderful athletes, and giving them the opportunity to compete. And UIL has, to their credit, really done a great job.
Awesome. I love that. Okay, Stu, so we've got, just in UIL, we have six individuals that are going to be, that are going to be named, earn the discus state champions. There's going to be six boys state champions in the discus, and then six, of course, on the girl side. And now we go to TAPS, and there's six more state champions in the discus. Two more. Some states, whether it's officially through an athletic association, which that does not seem like that'd be able to work at all, or unofficially through like a coach association, like, I don't know, TTFCA, they'll host a meet of champions where we take the winner of each one, or top two, or the top marks. We put them all together, let them race, and we find out, air quotes here, the true state champion. Anything like that going on in Texas?
Funny you mentioned that. Yes, sir. We are hosting our eighth annual meet of champions this year. Obviously missing a couple of years for COVID, but it was designed with that exactly in mind. And, you know, we talked with Coach Hart, Clyde Hart, the legend, because he had a big hand in that in Arkansas several years ago. But like you said, a lot of states, their own state association takes care of it, but to get eight of them to get together and make, no, not going to happen. So we stepped in and saw that need eight, 10 years ago. And that's what we do. So we have qualifying standards from the moment you hit that qualifying standard in that calendar year. So that could be easily starting in a couple of weeks with some indoor events. And then any state champion, regardless of time or mark, if you're a state champion, you're automatically qualified. I don't care if it took you 20 minutes to run the mile, you're in.
You know, Stu, I feel a little attacked that you would name my mile PR that you would also be. Please be a little kinder to your host here, please. Keep going.
Well, I remember because you lapped me.
You know, it's not fair that we get friends together to do this. This makes for a longer podcast. I'm so sorry, listener. Thanks for bearing with us. We are learning a lot. So keep listening, please, please, please. All right. So you guys started the Meet of Champs, the TTFCA did.
We did. It's our baby. Our first one was at Baylor University. And we're trying to move it around the state. I mean, because Texas is just that huge. We've had it at Lovejoy High School up here in North Texas, inside Collin County. And Lovejoy did an amazing job. The booster club and the parents, is like, we didn't have to do anything. It was absolutely fantastic. last year we were at Texas State University and Coach Frazier wants us back. So it's like, okay, the opportunity to get back on a college campus is not only exciting for us, but Coach Frazier and his staff just jumped at it. It's like, so you're going to bring 200 to 300 of the top quality kids? Okay. So we can look at the underclassmen up front? Sure. And so it's just worked out well. It's a really good relationship.
You know, the first reason we started this project of going to all 51, including you, Washington, D.C., was to create conversation. And so I love that not only does Texas have Amita Champs, that it's fairly new, meaning, you know, last 8, 9, 10 years, not a 40-year tradition, but we also have one of the main players that helped start that. So other states that might be considering, wow, what would it look like if we did Amita Champs? How would we even do that? Well, here we have one of the people that has done and created a very successful one in Texas. So, you know, the conversation can begin here and can continue between you and your state and then here with Texas with Stu as well. So I love that. And I'm really grateful for your expertise and really stick-to-itiveness. It is not easy to start a meet, especially like the Meet of Champs.
It's not, especially when you have conferences that don't all have their state meet on the same weekend too. So you're asking some kids, hey, hold on, just stay with us another weekend and you'll be fine. And just the fact that the state is just logistically huge, so it's not easy. But we've had top quality athletes, you know, Aaliyah Miller, Olympic trialist, Adrian Pippery, Will London. We've had great athletes there.
And that's what I love about it. On the outside, it may seem easier because, oh, well, Texas is so big, they'll have so many athletes. Well, Texas is so big, that makes it harder. And you already heard about the 8 different organizing bodies. How do you do this? So trust me, if Texas can pull it off with all of this complexity, yeah, some of our other states, you know, if this is something you're interested in, I would highly encourage you to pick Stu's brain and his team there as well.
And okay. we'll be happy to answer any questions you have and, you know, consult with whatever you need.
All right, let's talk about some events. Let's go kind of group by group here, Stu. We can assume you're doing the 1, 2, 4, and 8 for boys and girls.
Yes, sir.
The next two, are you doing the 16-32, the 15-3000, the mile, 2 mile? What are we doing in those next two?
16-32.
All right, that's the most common. We're doing the 110 highs and the 100 highs for boys and girls.
Yes.
We're doing the 300 hurdles.
Correct.
We know we're going to the relays now. We know you're doing the 4x1 and 4x4 because if you weren't, you wouldn't be doing track and field and you wouldn't be on this podcast.
Correct.
Help us out because I know you said a little bit, what other relays, and there was a little bit of difference on who actually does some of the relays or not.
UIL and TAPS both do the 4x2.
Okay.
SPC does 4x8.
And TAPS and UIL does not do 4x8.
Correct. Not as a scored event. No.
Okay. We've learned that as we've journeyed here through the states is I assumed all states had 4x8 and that's not true. In fact, several have added. A lot have, and a lot have added it, about 5 or 6 so far have added it within the last 5 or 6 years, but it's still not the, you know, like a 4x1, 4x4 where everybody has it. Not everybody. Any other relays, any sprint medleys, shuttle hurdles, DMRs, anything else?
Not as scored events at the state meet, no.
Perfect. Let's go to the field events. You're doing long jump and triple jump for boys and girls?
Yes.
You're doing shot put and discus, boys and girls?
Correct.
You're doing pole vault and high jump for boys and girls?
Correct.
Any other events, javelin, hammer, multi-events, 5,000, steeplechase, anything else at the state meet for any of these bodies?
At the state meet of these three major bodies, no. Now, we are in talks, very early talks, and I know this is going to light up your face. You already know where I'm going with this, because we're in very early discussions with one of the associations to bring in the javelin.
Awesome.
The reason being is several. One, Texas in the summer oftentimes hosts either AAU or USATF Junior Olympics.
Right.
In fact, I think it's going to be in Houston in 25, 27, 29. So kids, whether it's a little turbo or whatever, they're already used to throwing it. that we don't have it at any state association. I think the homeschool throws it, but of the big three that they don't, really doesn't make a lot of sense, because with our population, we can easily make it happen. Now, UIL did, but you'd have to go back into about the 1930s.
Is that right?
1940s. It's a long time ago. Yeah, when they had actually a rural pentathlon as well. Many, many years ago. But within the last 60, 70, no, none of them throw the jab. But like I said, we are in conversation. And when we get to that point, I know you and Gil will be major supporters, because it's picking up steam across the country. I mean, a few more of that. Idaho is added, Alabama, Florida.
Yeah.
We're up to like 22, 23 across the country now. So yeah,
I think we've tipped over the halfway point. I think we're all in right. The 26, 27, 28 range now. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that'd be amazing to give kids in the state of Texas that opportunity for the next level in a great event here. Let's be real. This is a fun event.
Yeah, and you mentioned the steeplechase. The steeplechase has gained a lot of traction in the state of Texas. Several of our high schools, in fact, Antonian in San Antonio, Lucas Lovejoy, Hockaday here in Dallas, St. Mark's, there's a lot of them within the last 10 years that have a steeple on their own high school campus now.
So that goes right into my next question. So let's put this together, because, you know, after the state meets, some states, much like a meet of champions, will take some of these unique events and they'll do an unofficial state meet, whether it's a multis or steeple, et cetera. You're alluding to this. There's a culture of steeple in Texas, but it's not in the state meet.
It's not a scored event yet. Hopefully it will be. And a lot of credit, I'm going to just name drop, if you don't mind.
Please.
We'll go to a former Texas coach. He's now retired. He coached at Highland Park, and Lucas Lovejoy, guy, but I know you know him, Greg Christensen. He put in a lot of effort to help promote and publicize and hold clinics on the steeple. And in the last 10 years, it's really gained a lot of popularity. Texas Relays runs the steeple for the high school, and with our help, they actually do the javelin. So we're hoping that will gain as popularity as well. But no, it's not a state scored event yet. Hopefully it will be. You mentioned the multis. That's not part of it. I know several states do sponsor the HEP and DEC afterwards. We have what's known as Texas Greatest Athlete, that John Turk, head coach at St. Mark's, an amazing coach, better human being. And he's been doing it for a long time with Richie Mercado out of, you know, Houston St. John's, and Sue Humphrey has helped. And they host a HEP and DEC for high school kids, post-collegians, and even some professionals have been there. You know, Trey Hardy has competed, and they do this like the first weekend in June. So the ability to compete HEP and DEC is there. It's just not state sponsored.
Yep, absolutely. Perfect. Awesome. Stu, before we get to a couple of fun questions here, anything else that we missed, anything I didn't ask, anything that, I don't know, you double your relay points, you only score six at state, you run the 4x4 at midnight because that's a Texas tradition. I don't know. Anything that we missed that we should know uniquely about Texas high school track and field?
Sure. Like you mentioned, scoring. TAPS and SPC both score eight places.
Okay.
UIL score six.
Really?
We have had many conversations, and we, the TTFCA, are in the process of representing a proposal after, you know, we got to go garner more support, obviously, to ask UIL to consider going to eight places.
Now, you took the extra step, I say you being Texas, of adding the ninth person because you're at a track that has a ninth lane, but you only score six for the UIL.
Correct.
I had no idea about that. That is very unique in my opinion.
And it really, when you think about it, you know, you go down to eight places, it doesn't it may change if you rescored what has happened in the past. It may change some places, but moving forward, there's zero financial obligation. Just to say you came in seventh or eighth now, you're not handing out any more medals, but you are recognizing more kids, and it does follow the collegiate model. And most states, I don't have an exact number on me, but most states do score more than six, whether it's seven or whatever. And you also mentioned relays, and this is another major point of contention, which is why we also would like to add a distance medley or a 4x8 if there's time to do it in a meet without prelims, is because we do have double relay points.
Oh, so we learned that recently about Oklahoma.
Yes.
Texas, you also double your
4x1. We're the only two states.
4x2, 4x4, and over on the tap side, the 4x8.
The SPC side would be the 4x8.
SPC. Do they also double?
Everyone in Texas doubles.
So as much as you know, and you're the historian here for Texas, so I'm pretty sure I'm asking the right guy. Do you know, is there like a 60-second history of why? How did that start? Why did it start?
I don't remember the exact year that it started, and I have an idea, but I don't want to misquote the history. So I'm going to just leave that answer alone for the moment. My apologies, but I don't want to say something that is factually incorrect, that it came in along with this as, you know, sort of acquiescing to, well, if we do this, we'll give you this. Mm-hmm. Just don't recall the exact circumstances. But like you said, we are one of only two states that double. But the issue then becomes when you look at UIL and TAPS 4x1, 4x2, 4x4, you're doubling sprint relays. So if you load up on the relays, you can get 60 points if you win them all, which almost can give you a state title. Right. Yet none of those kids at the same time get an open event. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you got a really fast kid, I understand you putting them on three relays because your goal is to win. Yet, you know, because you've been at the collegiate level, are we really going to recruit off splits?
Right.
So it becomes a dilemma, and which is why we're, if there is space in a revised schedule, because all of the state meets are at a single location as well. If there were to be a, you know, space available, we'd love to see a DMR and sort of even out the playing ground or a 4x8.
Can you tell us, appreciate your candor there in regards to not wanting to get it wrong on the history. Has it been this way, doubling up of the relay points, for a long time, like as long as you can remember, type of thing? Like, this is not something that started in 2000 and now here we are in 23 going, well, wait a minute, or has this been decades?
It's 20 plus years, easy.
Okay. All right. Awesome, Stu, man, that's great. Let's get to a couple of fun questions here, man. At least in your culture, your bus ride to the meet, when we're talking about the state meet, when you're talking to your kids or when the kids say it, are you qualified for state, for states, for the state meet? How is this debate?
Most of my kids will go state.
No S. I didn't hear an S there. State.
No, not plural.
Not plural. All right. That's good. This is a very passionate topic, so we had to make sure we included it in our series here. Okay. Stu, you've been amazing. We've learned a lot. And I'll tell you what, I so much props and kudos to you. You took a very convoluted, confusing at times.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Situation, and you made it very succinct, my friend. It's almost like you're a teacher or something. So bravo. You did an amazing job. You win the magic wand. And if someone in your seat, you have the ability to actually do some of the magic wand stuff here. If you could
we're trying
one thing and only one thing to make the outdoor track and field, I should just say track and field for high school in Texas, better, in your opinion, what might that be?
If I can change one thing. Wow. because there's so much I'd love to do. I'd love to
narrow the list down for one.
I know, podcast. But thinking for the greater population of the athletes and to allow more athletes in a state where, you know, the athletes are literally phenomenal, I would add prelims.
So instead of eight, you would take maybe 16.
Yeah, get more athletes involved. It may change a little bit of the logistics getting there, mm-hmm. of course. But, I mean, there's such good athletes, as you know. We talked about earlier, you know, my third place guy in my region is, you know, this year, you know, so much faster or throws so much further, whatever. Let's let more kids, you know, get involved.
I think that's an excellent use of the magic wand, my friend. I love it. I would co-sign onto that 100%.
All right.
Stu, thank you so much. As we continue, you know, we started April 2nd with Alabama. We're going all the way to the end of May with Wyoming. So we're right kind of just past the middle here with Texas and learning so much about each state. We learned so much here today. So grateful for you being with us today. And just thank you from the bottom of our heart. Thank you for helping us learn more about Texas high school track and field.
Appreciate it. Thank you for your time, sir.